There's a new book out called Showdown with Iran. The subtitle is Nuclear Iran and the Future of Israel, the Middle East, and the United States in Bible Prophecy. The author is Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and his website is marklhitchcock.com. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Dr. Hitchcock, I understand you are a professor, at least part-time, at Dallas Theological Seminary. And tell us about this book. Give us an overview, if you would.
Well, yeah, you know, in Showdown with Iran, basically what I'm doing in this book is just trying to make a correlation, kind of an intersection between what we see happening in the world today with the rise of Iran and obviously their nuclear pursuits and kind of, you know, their tentacles that spread throughout the whole Middle East. An intersection between that and what the Bible says about an end time invasion of Israel by a coalition of nations in the end time. It's a prophecy that's found in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39 in the Bible. So really what the book is it's a lot about, you know, what Iran believes, what they're doing, kind of a lot of their activities that are taking place now, but really trying to show an intersection and how this really is serving as kind of the build up or setting the stage for what was predicted, you know, over 2,500 years ago in the Hebrew prophet Ezekiel.
All right, talk about Iran and the Bible.
Well, you know, Iran, the word Persia is found 36 times in the Bible. And really, you know, most of the references have already been fulfilled, they're past. But there's one reference in Ezekiel 38:5 that mentions Persia, which Persia became Iran in 1935, and then in the late 70s became the Islamic Republic of Iran. But it's mentioned there in Ezekiel 38:5 as part of a group of nations that it says are going to invade the land of Israel in the latter years or in the last days. And so that's the passage that we really find in Scripture that speaks of a future for Iran. And, you know, interestingly, in the last few decades here, Iran has risen to great power, kind of the number one world sponsor of terror.
Yeah.
You know, very active in Syria right now. And so, you know, it kind of looks as if, you know, Iran's kind of rising right on cue, if you will.
Talk about Iran's hatred of Israel.
Well, you know, and again, when we talk about Iran, you know, I always like to distinguish between the people there that are, you know, many of them obviously wonderful people. And we pray for them and care about them.
And can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
Somewhere I picked up the idea that half of the population of Iran, half, are under 18, under the age of 18. And many of these are not even in line with the Ayatollahs that run the whole thing.
That's right. No, that's right. A very young population, very youthful, and I think a lot of them, you know, many of them don't want to be under the mullah regime, I call it, or under the rule of the Ayatollah. So, you know, the people there are one thing. That's always the way it is with these dictatorial regimes. You have the regime that runs things, but, you know, the regime there in Iran, I mean, they hate the state of Israel, the Zionist state, as they call it. They hold to a brand of Islam called Shiite or Shia Islam, and they even hold to a narrower strain of 12er Shiism. They believe they're waiting for the coming of their Mahdi or the 12th Imam, and obviously they, you know, with all
it's like a Messiah.
But all followers of Islam, you know, they believe that Jerusalem's their third most holy site. Even though it's not mentioned in the Quran, but they do believe that, you know, Muhammad went to heaven from where the Temple Mount is today. And so, you know, they don't want anyone controlling that other than those of the Islamic faith. So they basically want the Jewish people dispossessed of that state, and they want to control it. And of course, they call Israel the little Satan, and they call the U.S. the big Satan, because obviously we're more powerful and we kind of obviously are their main ally. But, you know, Ahmadinejad, several years ago, the leader there said that, you know, they want to wipe Israel off the face of the map, and that hasn't changed. I mean, that's the constant rhetoric we hear from the regime there.
Wow. Okay, comment, if you would, on the Holocaust of Nazi Germany and what Iranians say about it, Iranian leaders say about it.
Well, they're especially Ahmadinejad a few years ago. I mean, they're Holocaust deniers. They deny the reality of the Holocaust. I mean, I've been to Israel many times. Just got back from there in March, and you know, you go to the Yad Vashem, which is
yes.
The Holocaust Museum there.
Right.
I mean,
I've been there. Yeah.
You know. Yes. I mean, you go through there. With all these pictures made up, all these letters and the clothing, you know, the books that are there that contain the names of the 6 million people. So. You know, they don't want to, because they realize that a lot of the reason that Israel was given their homeland back and their modern state in 1948 was out of the ashes of the Holocaust.
Yes.
And if they can deny that and kind of deny world sympathy for the Jewish people, then that kind of gets them a leg up, really, as far as their desire to drive the Jewish people out of the land of Israel.
What is Hezbollah?
Well, Hezbollah is Party of God. They're a proxy of Iran. They were founded back in the early 80s. Back in the early 1980s. They're in Lebanon. They're entrenched there. They're probably the most powerful proxy Iran has. And really, Iran does a lot of their bidding now through these proxies. They have Hezbollah. They have Islamic Jihad down in Gaza. Of course, Iran right now is on Israel's northern border in Syria. They've come there to bolster the regime of Bashar al-Assad. Russia's there as well. So that's a new development of them being that close to the land of Israel. But Hezbollah is a very fierce proxy for Iran that does their bidding.
Iran was in the news just a couple weeks ago in terms of the United States with some ships out in, one of those seas out there. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in the Persian Gulf, which is, the main narrow channel there, the choke point where that oil comes out, it's called the Strait of Hormuz.
Mm-hmm.
In America, we have a lot of our naval ships there. They have a lot of these gunboats, Iran does, that come up and kind of get real close to these ships and harass them. And, President Trump made the statement to shoot them down, shoot down these boats. Now, people didn't know whether he was saying that as a policy for sure, just kind of an expression of what he would like. But there's a lot of those kinds of things going on. And, of course, a couple weeks ago, Iran fired off their first military satellite. Now, there's been some dispute over whether it was successful or not, but they shot off on a missile and put a satellite in orbit, a military satellite. So, they're doing all these things at the same time that they're trying to kind of, in a deceptive way, I think, cross the nuclear finish line. So, it's all troubling. We don't want people like Iran, if they ever get nuclear weapons, to have the delivery system with an intercontinental ballistic missile to fire it with.
Mm. Comment on that, if you would, about their attempt to get nuclear weapons. And I think they would say, this is just for nuclear energy, but just comment on that, please, because that's a very important topic.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's what they would say, but it's kind of like, the same thing is true with Iran, with North Korea, with China. A lot of disinformation. That's maybe a nice way of saying lying, but, a lot of obfuscating of the truth. And, of course, they've always claimed it's just for peaceful purposes, but again, they're trying to, to marry these weapons with missile technology. They really started it all with a man named Khan, who was from Pakistan, who was part of their nuclear program there. They brought him to Iran to help them with all of this. The degree.
What decade would that be, sir? What decade?
That was in the 80s.
All right.
So they've been at this a long time. But the other thing is the degree to which they're enriching uranium. And again, I'm not a nuclear expert. It's just what I read. But
sure,
the degree to which they're enriching uranium is not necessary for domestic or power purposes. So I don't think there's really any objective person in the world who believes that Iran wants this for to fuel power plants.
Yeah.
Anybody who's objective, they all know that they want this for weaponry.
You want to make a comment about the contrast between, let's say, the Obama administration's approach to Iran versus the Trump administration's approach to Iran, especially in terms of that deal that didn't seem to pass the smell test to me and to, many Americans, including President Trump.
That's right. I think I always think with everybody, I try to read the best motives to people. I don't think that President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry had bad motives in doing that. I think they were trying to kick the can down the road. And again, that's really all the Iran nuclear deal did. It just kind of put it off for a few more years, but it didn't strip them of the ability to do anything. It also gave them tons of money, $150 billion in cash. And President Trump obviously didn't like that. Senator Cruz, most of the Republican candidates running for president, wanted to dismantle that when they came into office. So, I don't think it was a wise thing. I think when you're dealing with places like Iran, continued appeasement, it's never really been shown in history to work very well.
Yeah.
But, leaders like to kind of, again, kick the can down the road because it makes them look good and they can kind of leave it for the next person to mess with. But, sooner or later, you have to face these nations And I think that's what President Trump's trying to do. And of course, he's, you know, reimposed these crippling sanctions on them, which have really had a lot of bite. And then now with coronavirus on top of that in Iran, I think it's really had a devastating effect on their economy.
Huh. Okay. Comment about coronavirus in Iran.
Well, coronavirus, you know, Iran's one of the hardest hit places in the world, we think. Again, they're, you know, it's like China. We don't know the exact number of people who've had it. We assume that it's greatly minimized in the numbers they've given out. But, I mean, they've been hit very, very hard by it. And, of course, that's just another thing that causes a lot of unrest there among the people. And I've kind of wondered, you know, would Iran maybe use this as kind of a camouflage to maybe, you know, make some kind of attack against American troops or even against Israel, because the Mullah regime is becoming less and less popular there. They didn't handle the corona crisis well. You know, they've not handled the economy well. The sanctions are there. So, you know, sometimes when things are going real badly at home, you kind of try to divert the focus.
Yeah.
You know, maybe lash out against an enemy and everybody will kind of rally around you at that point. So, you know, it's yet to be seen what's going to happen from this. But they were hit hard by it. And all that's on top of the, you know, the really tough economic sanctions we've had on them.
Do they still chant, you know, on a weekly basis? For example, if we could hear their Friday prayers, which I guess are in the Farsi language, would we be hearing death to America, death to America? Do they still say that? Or do they say death to Israel, too?
Well, they say both. Yeah, I don't know if they do it every week. When they have their big rallies, they do. I mean, that's always...
But it's just a regular part of their
sure.
their chants. Death to America, you know. I remember that after that Obama deal, and I thought, wow, how does that work? You know.
Well, they would always, and too, if you see when they do their big military parades every year, as these missiles go by, in Farsi, written on the side of them, usually is death to Israel. You know, in other words, you know, they're going to fire these off. So, yeah, I mean, they make no bones about it. You know, this isn't some hidden strategy. They're a very closed society, but at least they're open about that.
All right, let me ask you a question. Is there a single legal church in Iran?
I don't really know, you know, to be honest with you about that. I mean, I'm not sure. I know there's a lot of underground churches there.
Underground. Tell us about that. Tell us about everything you know about Christianity in Iran in today's context.
There's a video, it's called Sheep Among the Wolves, I think it is. I've watched it. And in this video, it's claimed that the Church of Jesus Christ is growing faster in Iran than any other country in the world. Now, again, it's a closed society. It's hard to know. But if that's anywhere close to being true, that's a staggering thought. I do know I've been on programs before, like with John Ankerberg. He has a well-known program, and John Ankerberg says that he gets just loads of correspondence from Iran, and especially when his programs are about Bible prophecy, which is fascinating. The people there are desperate. But, you know, they watch it on, you know, Internet or, you know, however they do it. They do it in a secret way. But it's very encouraging. And, again, like I said, we want to pray for the people of Iran. We're not against Iran. We're not antagonistic towards them. We don't hate them. We love the Iranian people. But it's this Mullah regime that's controlling the country. But God is doing a great work there underneath all of that. You know, again, the sheep among the wolves that God is saving. So that's a very encouraging thing, I think, for us to know and to be praying about.
Okay, we have less than half a minute to go. MarkLHitchcock.com for more information. The name of your book, Showdown with Iran. How about a closing thought about the coronavirus in general and the gospel?
Well, the coronavirus, what we're seeing today is not the fulfillment of any prophecy, but it's certainly a foreshadow of what's coming. And at a minimum, we can say it's a wake-up call. It's a massive wake-up call for people to turn to Jesus Christ and trust in him before it's too late.
Whether they're from Iran or from the United States or from wherever.
That's right, yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Again, the name of the book, Showdown with Iran. All the best. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.